Circle for another broadcast based upon what the Bible teaches. Today we're going to begin a series of broadcasts that we simply are entitling, Take a Look at Your Bible. You know, many times as I go about the country talking to people, I find that individuals are offering what this person has to say, what someone else has to offer. And of course we realize that this is not a bad condition if what is being offered is in harmony with the Word of God. We want to take a look at the Bible and find out what the Bible position is on a number of outstanding subjects. Of course, the most important thing in the Bible that comes to our mind when we think of it as a book is the very fact that God was in the beginning. We cannot think of a beginning of God. We cannot think of an ending of God. And so I want to begin this series by simply taking a look at the Bible from the standpoint of God in the beginning. A man said to me not too long ago, "You know, it takes more faith to believe the theories of men and the ideas of man than it does simply to take the Bible, having faith in it, to realize that God has ordained a wonderful plan." And I've turned that over in my mind, and I believe there's a lot of good thought there, food for thought. You know, when the book says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," we have God before the heaven and earth was here. We have God as the Creator. And there's an emphasis placed from the very beginning upon the things that are of a physical nature. One scripture I'd like to call to your attention at the beginning of this series is Romans 1 and 20. And I imagine we'll be going to Romans 1 and 20 different times. When you look at that passage of scripture, you'll find that Paul is stating there that the invisible things, or the things we cannot see, are clearly understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of God. The point that I believe is being emphasized here, that in the physical creation, God is not alone showing us the power of order, we might say, for everything was done in an orderly fashion. When you realize God being God could have said, "Let the earth be in existence," and everything could have been created in the twinkling of an eye. After all, if God has power in the twinkling of an eye to change everything at the end of time, so to speak, then we realize he would have power, which is unlimited, to create the world of which we are a part in the twinkling of an eye. But you see, God in his order took the 6 days to create the heaven and the earth. But this creation, as you look at it, has to be looked upon as being basically a physical creation. Now, why would the God of heaven, who is eternal, spend time in telling us in his word, as Moses recorded in the first few chapters of Genesis, about the very beginning of this universe, unless there would be more to this than simply, we might say, the fact that God did this? I believe that Romans 1 and 20 points out to us that the things that God has made by his power would indicate unto us that there is a true power behind the creation. And this would explain to us the things that we cannot see. Of course, we have to explain them from the standpoint of faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In other words, this indicates that faith stands under the entire Christian life. And no one is going to get very far in Christian living. No one's going to be very far down the road to being born again unless that person has faith in Almighty God. So the light was created upon the first day by the power of God's Word. And I think there's a good comparison I can make on the broadcast today. The power of God's Word was able to make the light that is associated with physical life. The power of His Word is able to make it possible for us to be born again in a spiritual sense. Remember the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 23, when he said, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And then on the second day, we have God creating the expanse or space, dividing the waters from the waters. You see, God was able to do this, and the dry land appeared. And so we see the power of God in that great space arrangement. This was the first program in space, really, as God was arranging the space now as a, we might say, a frame that assumed to have the picture of the sun, moon, and stars upon it. This took place, of course, on day 4. But in that great expanse of creation, in the space, we might say, God offered something there that I think can teach us a spiritual lesson on the broadcast today. You know, David, when he looked up into the heavens, I am sure was not primarily concerned about whether a man would ever land on the moon. Now, let's not say that David was completely removed from reality. I am sure many thoughts came to the mind of this great man who was inspired of God. But I remember what David wrote in Psalms 19:1, when he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." So when we look at the heavens at night, understanding there is a space that seems to be endless, and I believe that space would be the best physical example of what eternity could be that we have before our minds in the universe. Also, we understand upon the third day the vegetation, the grass of the field, the flowers, and all those things were created. This vegetation was for the appreciation of man as well as for his livelihood, for all these things of a physical nature that were created must have been created with mortal man in mind. Then finally, the sun, moon, and stars became a reality. You know, the very fact that light was created upon the first day not alone shows us the value of light, but it also shows us that there can be light even without the sun, moon, and stars. You see, when we picture heaven as related there in Revelation, that there'll be no need for the sun. Well, this could be true because we understand the sun was not created until the fourth day. And on the first day, God, through his power, did make light. So again, we see the power of God in a physical sense that can give to us the great lesson of the power of God in a spiritual sense. On the fifth day, the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. And then on the sixth day, the super day of creation, the beast of the field. And finally, as Genesis 2:7 relates to us, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul." Then we're aware of the fact that it was God's desire that man should have companionship. You know, when we talk about marriage, and a lot of people seem to treat it quite lightly in our present day, yet we're aware of the fact that this was a very serious matter with God. You see, marriage was actually the idea of God, not the idea of man. So I suppose that when people get away from the importance of marriage today, they simply are taking the ideas of men, truly not the ideas of God. Incidentally, when someone says, "Well, marriage is just a sheet of paper," might I indicate to you that this is a good indication of how shallow our thinking really is on this subject. God, in giving us a picture of marriage, gave us a picture of something that was much deeper than just a printed page. We might say that one of the great problems that may face the human family today is God has taught us how to love, the devil has taught us how to lust. And I fear that there are some people who cannot tell the difference today between lust and love. But be that as it may, God did form man out of the dust of the ground. He then gave man a part of himself by breathing into man's nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. God realized that the thinking of man, having the right of choice, must also have that which would govern him in life. So in Genesis 2:17, we have an interesting statement. God said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." I'm led to believe that Adam and Eve both had profound respect for God's law, because in chapter 3, when the serpent came to Eve, he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And in Genesis 3:2, we have the answer that's offered here by Eve. "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden," verse 3, "but of the fruit of the tree of the which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And then the serpent offered the first lie that brought pain and death to the human family by saying in verse 4, "Ye shall not surely die." I want to ask you on the broadcast today, who was really right in this matter? You see, the very visible existence of death would indicate to us that the devil, the serpent, was wrong. For it tells us in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed once for man to die, and after this the judgment." The great hope that I'd like to offer to you on the broadcast in this first sermon in this current series is the fact that even though man listened to the word of the serpent and has regretted that ever since, we're aware of the fact that God has given us an antidote for sin, that we might truly obey from our heart that glorious form of doctrine, to be made free from sin, to become servants of righteousness. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. So in our opening broadcast in this current series, I want to say to you, friends, that it's good to talk to you about God in the beginning. Now, there are questions about God that we can't understand, we can't answer. There are solutions to the problems that we probably think are impossible, but God has the answer. God has the solution. So we're saying at the beginning of this broadcast that we trust, as your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ bring this to you, that you will follow the same course that we're trying to follow in putting full trust in God and realizing whatever faith it takes to meet the challenge of life each day, the Bible truly has the answer. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." And then in closing on this first broadcast in this series, we simply want to keep in mind, as the man passed on to me, it takes more faith and more effort to believe the theories of men than it simply does to take the story of creation in the Bible and to realize that the power of God is exhibited throughout this marvelous teaching. You know, it's been good to come into your family circle with this broadcast today, and I trust as we beam it into your home and into your heart, it'll benefit your soul. If you have questions about God in the beginning, we may not be able to answer them, but feel free to send them into the station to which you're listening or to the congregational address that brings you this broadcast. May God bless you as we obey this marvelous and this wonderful truth.